sure you're all sitting out there wondering why there was only one lesson today. Right? Top of your mind, right? I think this lesson, number one, these men and women are great examples of faithfulness, and that's what we're talking about. And number two, Chris said there'd be a quiz. Those of you who liked history, I think this is almost like a history lesson of the Old Testament. And the third reason, I was simply having a hard time coming up with an Old Testament, New Testament, and gospel passage I wanted to use. But first, I want to start with a prayer. And this prayer is actually by Thomas Aquinas. It's in the Lutheran prayer book. So let us pray. Give us, O Lord, a steadfast heart, which no unworthy affection may drag downwards. Give us an unconquered heart, which no tribulation can wear out. Give us an upright heart, which no unworthy purpose may tempt aside. Bestow upon us also, O Lord our God, understanding to know you, diligence to seek you, wisdom to find you, and a faithfulness that may finally embrace you, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Bestow upon us also, O Lord our God, understanding to know you, diligence to seek you, wisdom to find you, and a faithfulness that may finally embrace you. What a meaningful idea expressed in such a short sentence. What a concept that our seeking, finding, and understanding the Lord leads to our faithfulness and our fully embracing him. It is what he wants and expects from us as his followers. In his letter to the Galatians, Paul lists faithfulness as one of the fruits of the Spirit. So how do we go about achieving this faithfulness that God expects of us? How do we make faithfulness a way of life instead of a virtue practiced every once in a while? Obviously, we know that faith is the root word of faithfulness. Verse 6 of our lesson states that without faith, it is impossible to please God. We must believe that God exists, and we must seek him. The men and women in our lesson trusted God and obeyed him, despite their circumstances and consequences. Can you imagine having the faith of Noah? Would you start building an ark with no visible evidence that the world was going to be destroyed? Noah displayed that kind of faithfulness to God, and he and his family lived while the rest of the sinful world did not. And following God's command, Abraham moved to a strange land, leaving behind the land and the things that he was familiar with. He was looking for something better, a city with foundations that God designed and built. He was used to living in tents, which were not permanent. He trusted in God's promise of something better, and he faithfully obeyed. By his faithfulness, he received that something better, and even at his and Sarah's advanced age, had descendants as numerous as the sand on the seashore. Abraham is the patriarch, the earthly father, if you will, of the three major monotheistic religions today: Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. All of these mentioned in this chapter, Hebrews 11, lived in faithfulness to God and were commended for their faith. But they did not receive the promise that we have been given. They sought something better and faithfully obeyed God for an unknown promise that we know has been fulfilled. The promise of salvation has been given to us in the life, death, and resurrection of God's only begotten Son, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Just as God was faithful in his promises to these followers, he is faithful in his promises to us. He expects us to live in faithfulness to him. Are we faithful as individuals? Are we faithful as a church, a group of believers? First, what makes us faithful as individuals? Is it going to church every Sunday? Is it knowing the Lord's Prayer and Bible passages by heart? Is it writing a check and putting it in the offering plate? It should include all those things if they are done in genuine faith and not by rote, not just because it is expected or because it has become a habit. Just as Abel's gift was accepted because it was given in faith, Cain's gift, by implication, was not accepted because it was done as a mere formality. Done in faith, these things are all part of being faithful. But being faithful individuals involves much more than that. Do we live each moment of every day as if God were by our side? Do we go to Him in prayer, seeking His guidance and will for the decisions, big and little, that we need to make for our lives? Do we acknowledge Him and praise Him even when things aren't going well? Do we sacrifice and give to help others, and do we do it cheerfully? In the accompanying video to the Believe series, Randy Frazee emphasizes that we serve not because we have to, but because we get to. We are faithful as an expression of gratitude, not as a requirement or duty. He gives an example of the president of a college who retired early to care for his wife who had early onset Alzheimer's. And in the letter of resignation to the board, this man stated that his wife had always taken care of him and placed his needs and wants above hers. He wasn't leaving his position to care for her because he had to. He had the means to pay for caregivers. He was stepping down because, after her years of faithfulness, he got to return that devotion. I want to share another example. This one's a little more humorous. I usually sit behind Ted and Joyce there. A few years ago, I'm going to guess the animal was one, maybe two. It was the first time Jack and Julie let her put their envelope in the offering plate. She comes across this end of the pew in front of Ted and Joyce there, and she can't wait for the usher to get there with the offering plate. She's standing there, and the arms are going up and down, the envelope's waving in her hand, and I'm sitting behind trying not to chuckle at her enthusiasm. The plate gets there, and she puts the envelope in and goes back to the other side of the pew. I leaned forward and said to Joyce that we should all be that excited to give to God. Now, I'm not telling you to jump up and down when the offering plate comes in. My point is that because God first loved and gave to us, we should be glad to love and serve Him. In preparing the message today, I read an online article where they gave three tips for improving our faithfulness in everyday life. Number one, take time to be humble and thankful. Number two, pray little prayers. Number three, let go of the things that you can't control. These three things seem like fairly simple instructions to follow. But think about if you did them regularly, would it help you live a more faithful life? And second, what makes us faithful as a church? Is it the name on the sign outside the church? Is it a building with stained glass windows that we come to weekly? Is it using communion setting 3 out of 10 in our latest service book? Personally, I don't think it's any of those things. They may be a place of worship or a part of worship, but they don't make a faithful church. Hebrews 10, verse 24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. Just our being together and supporting one another is a way we show faithfulness to God. In the Gospel of John, this is chapter 4, verse 23, when Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman at the well, he says, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and His worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Jesus did not say here in this passage or elsewhere that I can find, that a certain building or a certain liturgy or a certain type of music must be used. We are to worship in spirit and truth. Does anyone here know who Shonda Pierce is? Cheryl does. She's actually the number one selling female comedian, in however they determine that, in the U.S. She's funny. It's clean comedy. It's very humorous. And if you have a chance, YouTube, or get a chance to watch her, she will make me laugh and cry the same monologue. She's wonderful. But anyhow, her comedy, like I said, it's clean, and she's very open about her faith. She is the daughter of a preacher who walked out on his family following tragedy. And like a lot of other comedians, she has dealt with very serious emotional issues, which she is open about and even includes in her monologues. One time, the problem was bad enough that she had to go for inpatient treatment. And after a few days in different therapy sessions, she realized that she likes group therapy the best. In group, you've probably all seen this in TV shows and movies. In group, they would sit in a circle with a counselor and everyone would share about themselves. After sharing, the counselor would thank them for sharing and move on to the next person. Shonda liked that there was no judgment. There was no one there to ask, "Have you tried praying? Maybe you're not praying hard enough." There was no one to ask, "Have you pled the blood?" which is not a Lutheran thing. There was no one to suggest trying this or that Bible study. No one to say, "You need to lead this church group. It will get your mind off your problems." It was simply, "Thanks for sharing. Next." When Shonda thought about why she liked group therapy the best, she came to the realization that this was how she thought church should be. Not judging or criticizing, just listening and empathy. She stated that churches are busy disagreeing on what color the walls or the carpet should be. We're arguing over whether we should be singing traditional or contemporary music. But meanwhile, there are people sitting in the pews with hurts deeper than we can see or fathom. I have to admit that I had really mixed feelings when Pastor Eric started using praise music regularly in our service. I wasn't overly familiar with most of it. I sometimes have a hard time following it, and it seems that some of the songs just repeat the same thing over and over. And Bob, I feel for you trying to use every note on the proxima and But if you pay attention, some of those songs have very meaningful messages, just like a lot of her older hymns do. So even though I may have mixed feelings about a certain type of music or a certain song, if that song touches where someone is hurting or helps someone on their spiritual journey, let's keep singing it. Being a faithful church is not just about a worship service. It is about so much more than that. It is about taking the church, and more than that, taking God's message, outside of the building where we worship. Look at what we just did during the children's message. Look at the outside food pantry boxes. We do that to help neighbors who may not be able to afford food for themselves or their families. They may come up short at the end of the month. We assemble health kits and make meals for the rescue mission. There are also things we do that extend the church outside the walls of this building. Taking care of each other and giving to others less fortunate are wonderful examples of loving our neighbor, which we are called to do. And as a church, we support a missionary in training, Lexi, to be able to take the gospel to an unchurched part of the world. These are all part of being faithful. As Christians, we are not called to be successful like the world considers success. However, we are called to be faithful. We should be faithful as an example to the ones who do not know the good news. We should be faithful for those who follow in our footsteps, for our children who look up to us and watch how we live. But most of all, we should be faithful because God was and is faithful to all his promises. And ultimately, we want to hear from the Master, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen.